I've never broken a contract before you, but when I see you, I know I have to have you. Your fiancé doesn't notice it, the way my eyes linger on you. Hunger for you. Lust and desire are part of the game, after all, and as your new mistress, I set the rules. The way I bite my lip, the way my fingers drift up my dress to my choker, playing with the steel suds. She assumes it's part and parcel, that I'm teasing you before you get your money's worth, before you get her money's worth. But it's real. My wanton desire for you might be the only real part of our meeting, as the two of you sit in my parlour, negotiating the terms of your imprisonment. We break people here, I tell your lovely fiancé. Permanently. Utterly. You understand that, don't you? She nods enthusiastically. Your fiancé is a lovely creature. A porcelain doll in domination gear bought from the lover's store at the mall. I can see how aroused this is making her. How excited she is at the prospect of having you trained, professionally, like a puppy. To be taught your manners and released back into her care with a little diploma for good manners and a whistle for when you jump on her. She's excited, breathy. She loves you very much. I can see it in the way she holds your hand, squeezes it, comforting you, reassuring you. She has no idea how badly I want to rip you from her and destroy you. We share a tense moment, the three of us. A split second as I hand her the contract, and some of my eagerness shines through my smile. She can still back out. She can still take you home, unspoiled. If only she would look up. But she's dizzy with desire. She wants to touch herself to the tapes we're going to make of you. She wants the docile creature I've promised. She wants you in chains, forever ready to serve her. And so she misses her moment. Your fiancé overlooks the burning intensity in my eyes as my gaze wanders over your body, your tired features, your slumped posture, your downcast eyes. I can't wait to make you mine. And she can't wait to sign the contract. She blushes, bites her lip, signing her name beside yours at the bottom. She's oblivious. But you, I see your sudden fear, your hesitation. Good. I like clever boys. I march you, chained through the main gallery, and you gasp. Now you see why I call my home the House of Doors. There are dozens of them, perhaps hundreds, on the ground floor alone. Each door is as wide as a small cupboard, made of polished oak with heavy iron bands. No slats, no windows, none wider than a telephone booth. Just enough room to keep a grown adult, uncomfortably. I open a door near the middle of the gallery, where the muffled sobs and grunts and moans of my clients surround us. Inside is a dank, dark cupboard. More of a shaft, really. The floor is concrete with a drain. The walls are plaster with peeling paper. I flip a switch in the hallway, and a bare light bulb in the cupboard flickers and buzzes. I shove you in, shackled, and you stumble to your knees. You have 1 hour to remove your clothes and come, I tell you. If you haven't ejaculated by the time I return, or if there's a stitch of clothes left on you, your punishment will be severe. You're still chained, wrists and ankles, with your hands cuffed behind your back. Your open mouth and the baffled look in your eyes are delicious as I close the door and turn off the light. As impossible tasks go, you do quite well. When I open the door, you are naked, with scraps of torn, chewed clothes clinging to the chains between your wrists and ankles. You are rubbing your erect cock desperately against the grimy floor when the hall light blinds you. You blink up at me, and I point at the floor where you've been rubbing your cock. I tell you to take a closer look, and in the stark light you see how stained it is, how many others have fouled the surfaces of the cupboard before you were brought here. I tell you you're disgusting, filthy, that your time with me will be miserable and painful, but it's no less than you deserve. It won't be erotic or sexy, and I don't plan on releasing you at the end. I tell you that you're mine, in a very real way. And for half a heartbeat, I see you smile, like this is all part of the game. My look of displeasure, my chill, sobers you. This is not a weekend retreat, I tell you, as I remove my underwear and hike up my dress. This is not the fun pre-marital fling your fiancé thought she was buying. She misjudged me. You misjudged me. And now you're mine. I squat over you, still lying on the filthy concrete, and relieve myself, aiming a stream of piss at your face, and I hear you choking. As you splutter, I tell you what's going to happen next. I'm coming back with company, soon, and if you haven't gotten off by the time I return, they will. Once again, I leave you in the dark, cold and naked, rubbing yourself desperately against the floor. To be honest, you never had a chance. The first night is meant to be rough, to break your will and shatter your expectations. But because you're special to me, because I plan to make you my personal pet, I'm extra hard on you. When I return, I have two other clients in tow, a man and a woman. They're chained with their hands bound in front of them, and leather masks and gags to blind and silence them. They look harder, leaner than you. They've been through a lot already in my house. Our treatments have made them quite feral. I guide them, blindfolded, into the cupboard with you. They stand over you, sniffing the air. I tell them they have 1 hour to impress me. Then I shut and lock your door. It's like locking wolverines in with a rabbit. I lean against the door and I touch myself as your confusion turns into violent struggles and the oak rattles against my back. I hear you scream. I hear you cry. I hear you use safe words and pleas and threats. Finally, I hear you sobbing as my feral, moaning beasts claim every part of you. Eventually, I come against the quaking door, listening to your spirit being shattered. Your fiancé is a noisy, troublesome creature. I let her watch the tapes, just as she wanted, But she demands to see you, demands your release. I show her to your door. I allow you to hear her pleas for your freedom. She wants to break our deal. She wants to take you home. She didn't think our treatment, your violation, would be this harsh. She offers to pay me anything I want for your return. Sure, I tell her. He's right in there. Take him. I wait for her to grasp the cupboard handle, pulling at your door, before I hit her. She staggers, falls against the oak, and it rattles. You hear me hitting her again and again until she's sobbing, begging. Then you hear me order her to get onto her knees. She's shocked when she sees what I've worn under my dress, a silicone cock the width of my wrist. I tell her to open her mouth, and she does. As I use my cock to silence her forcefully, I wonder if you've ever used her like this. Have you ever pushed your cock down her throat? Made her inhale your dick? Made her gag so hard on you she shook? Judging by your sensitive nature, I think not. So I give her what she's never had. And I make sure you can hear the repeated slam of her skull against your door as I fuck her throat. She coughs, she cries, and when she flinches, pulling away, I hit her again. When my cock is slick with her spit, I turn her around and push her against the door, and I claim your lovely, weak-willed fiancé. I make her scream against the oak, first in indignation and pain as I fill her, then in ecstasy as I claim her hard. And when she collapses, quaking on the ground, I drag her away from your door by her long, pretty hair. When I return, I taunt you from the hallway. I tell you how worthless of a man you are, how you let me desecrate your woman without ever crying out for her. You didn't even try to warn her. And do you know why? Because you're weak. Because you're a slut and you enjoyed it. You enjoyed hearing me violate her, hurt her. Because you were broken long before I put you in that box. You didn't scream for her because I told you not to. And you came to my abuse of her because I wanted you to. I confirm it when I open the door and see you in tears. I see the cum dripping from your cock down your leg. You enjoyed it. You finally came. And now we know who you belong to. You must have suspected what I would do to your fiancé. Yet you never made a peep. Kidnapping and sex trafficking are very serious accusations, the police tell your fiancé. It's real, she insists. You're really being held captive in a cupboard, and the house is full of sex slaves. The police don't laugh as I unlock your door, but they look amused. Their eyes twinkle. The door opens. You blink in the light, and you see me, your mistress, standing between two uniformed officers. Your fiancé is crying, mascara running again. She's wearing long sleeves and a long skirt to cover the bruises, and she's shocked, horrified by your appearance. It's only a game, It's all in good fun. A little kink play between adults, I assure the police. Besides, when a man gets cold feet before a wedding, it's easier to run to his mistress, someone who will listen and comfort him. It's sad, but certainly not a crime. They uncuff your arms and ask you if it's true. You look at your fiancé, at her distraught face, puffy from crying. And you look at the police who wait patiently. Then you look to me, or more accurately, to my boots, because you know better than to meet my gaze without permission. You fall gently to your knees, and you crawl to me. You press your cheek against my thigh, and I make a show of petting your head. Your fiancé breaks so utterly, she has to be escorted away by one of the officers, wailing. The remaining police officer looks at you, and he smiles. Then he tips his cap to me and winks. "Mistress," the officer says. Then he leaves to drive your ex-fiancé home. At first, I don't show you how much you've pleased me. I don't believe in rewarding behaviour that should be second nature. And my coldness toward you, the sting of my negligence after you've thrown your life away, that's your true breaking point. You are cuffed again in your cupboard, and I hear you sobbing when you think you're alone. It sounds empty and unbearable. You crumble, realizing what you've done, the life you've abandoned, the fiancé you've spurned, the painful existence you've committed yourself to. It breaks you, utterly, unreservedly. In a sense, it breaks me too. I sit in the hall listening, with my back to your door. I hug my knees to my chest and I wait until your tears dry up and your breathing goes from shallow to rasping and steady. Then I rise. I dust myself off, wipe my own eyes, compose myself, and open your door. You are broken. Wide-eyed like a boy, naked, sitting on the floor. And you look like you've just seen your first miracle. This is how I want you to look at me, every time you see me, always. You're mine, I tell you, as I straddle your lap. I hitch my dress up, lower myself onto you. I grind on you, feeling you rise under me. You are my fuck toy, and I will take you out and use you whenever I want. You are my cocksucker, my whore when I want. You are my slave, my slut, my plaything. I feel your cock twitching, desperate, grateful. I cradle your head under my chin. Whatever I do to you, however I decide you please me best, it's my decision. You are my property. I ride you like a toy, taking a fistful of your hair, jerking your head back. I hold your neck with one hand while I slide my fingers into your mouth, down your throat with the other. You're mine. I grit my teeth, grinding your hips into the concrete. My boy, my fuck toy, my sweet, pathetic little thing. Never forget who you belong to. I feel you shaking under me, and I've never experienced anything like it. You convulse, filling the space between us with your cum, and little sobbing whimpers and gasps escape your throat. I brush your hair and hold you against me again. It's like I'm holding together the pieces of you. You're mine, I whisper, loving, soft, over and over. You're mine, you're mine.